Peter, the example, my friend, who's got this black cloud over his head, he says that he can't get rid of it.
Okay. Let me just explain to you that no one is born that way. In other words, we don't come into the world with predispositions toward negativity, presumptions of inability, or some kind of undermining force being what's going to direct our life. That's a learned behavior. It extends from his parents' mentality that was infused into him, that he was subjected to, exposed to, and was reinforced time and time again. Maybe it was familial. Maybe it was generational. Maybe, quote unquote, that's the way people in his family have always thought. Let me give you two examples,
sure,
because I want you to, the listeners, to understand a critical thing here, that thoughts are not just confined within your skull, that when you think, either consciously and much more so unconsciously, George, you're projecting energy out. And that kind of energy, let me explain and give you a couple examples of these mentally projected energy fields and the kind of impact and attraction influence that they carry. Have you ever been in a restaurant or a library or some public place, a bus, a train, the mall, and you get the feeling that someone is looking at you?
Yes.
Okay,
times.
So what is it? What is it that you think you're feeling? What are you feeling?
I feel a vibration.
Okay,
I feel
right.
Something like
you
that.
Feel something
a
like
piercing.
That.
Feeling.
You feel their mental projection of thought. They can you can consciously mobilize and generate that kind of thought intensity to where you'll make someone turn around and they look right into your eyes. You felt their thought projection. Another, and even this, and this example will directly coincide to your friend Howard. You may have heard of this study where you take two identical houseplants. And you put one in, you put them in different rooms, and you would give them the same amount of water, the same amount of exposure to sunlight, the same amount of plant food, but one, every time you see it, you silently mentally project, I love you, I value you, you're so important, I expect you to grow and thrive because you're a great plant, you're an incredible plant, and you're valued, you're cared about, and every time you see and feel me, and I'm in your presence, this is the kind of nurturing, life-advancing energy that I will project, and you can expect me to project into you. And the other one, every time you see it, you mentally, silently project, I hate you, you're worthless, you're nothing, you're miserable, you'll never amount to anything. After 3 months, what do you think each of those plants looks like?
I would guess that the one that you treated kindly is blooming, and the other one is kind of wilting.
Exactly, not kind of wilting, it's stunted. It's stunted. And now, let's look at that effect upon plants. Now, let's look at parents who do that to their children, either knowingly or unknowingly, projecting those kinds of sentiments or communicating verbally those kinds of sentiments. And now you can understand more deeply how your friend Howard came to think and believe the way he does.
You know, I bet every guy will admit to this, Peter, that sometime in his life, whether he was in high school or a grown adult, he tried to use his mind to have some woman look back at him. Whether you're sitting behind someone or across a crowded room, I bet every guy at one point in his life tried to concentrate on this person he sees just so she'd turn around and look.
If you believe and you had the confidence and the self relationship with yourself where you believed in yourself and you thought that you had good positive qualities that she would be interested in and you had a healthy self-respect and healthy self-esteem, you could project that kind of energy and there would be a response. But what happens is if you try to do that and get her to look, in other words, why don't you just go up to her if you feel that way and just say, hi, my name is Pete, or my name is George, you know, I'd like to talk to you about this, or some kind of interest point. I mean, I have an exercise that I show when I do a seminar where I have someone stand 3 feet in front of me and I can have them close their eyes without saying a word. I can either push them back and they almost fall back, or I can draw them to me just by projecting a certain mental context. It's very, very tangible. And so, yes, guys maybe have tried to get women to attract, but better if you look at in terms of what would you like to attract in life? And why aren't you? And let me give you an example. And you're going to love. This is something you could help your friend Howard with. And this is critical.
And he's probably listening to you right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's the thing, George. Because you made a statement. You know, you said to him, you know, Howard, you got to get rid of that black cloud. he got rid of that black cloud, do you think the absence of that black cloud would bring about the change and the results he'd want?
Nope, because I think he'd somehow create another black cloud.
You know why? You're right. The answer is no, because the absence of the bad is not the good. It's just the absence of the bad. People think that if they're not suffering, they're not miserable, they're not destitute, they're not thrown out in the street, then things are good. That's why when you meet someone who says, hey, how's it going? And they say, not bad. Well, what are they comparing it to? You know, the negativity. And where does that negative comparison come from? Just because someone's not miserable doesn't mean they're happy. It's because someone's not sick doesn't mean they're healthy. Because someone is not poor doesn't mean they're wealthy. It just means they're not the bad. And so taking that dark cloud off happens by asking him, if you could have life and yourself and things happen the way you'd want to, how would that be for you? A new self redefinition, a new life redefinition. But he's so used to thinking, oh man, the dark cloud, I'm jinxed, no prayer, no change, no hope. Why do you think that? Where did that come from? It came from either direct or subliminal inference or conditioning from his parents and him never taking the time to say, wait a second, why do I allow this? Why do I believe this? And if I could change it into what I want, how would I do that? And what would that be?
How does this energy, let's call it that, how does this energy work? How do people tap into this? How do they change their own destiny?
Okay. First thing is you have to begin to define if you could have yourself and your life or situations the way you'd like them, how would that be? Because energy is just energy. The energy of electricity, George, can either kill you or it can cook your food, right?
That's right. And make you live well.
Exactly. And it's how you choose to use it.